Dimwell arrhythmic rhyming slang. Various rhyming slangs are known and have given the universe such terms as apples and pears, stairs, rubbity-dub, pub, and busy-bee, general theory of relativity. The Dimwell Street rhyming slang is probably unique in that it does not, in fact, rhyme. No one knows why, but theories so far advanced are, one, that it is quite complex and in fact follows hidden rules, or two, Dimwell is well named, or three, it's made up to annoy strangers, which is the case with most such slangs. Syrup of prunes, wig. Not many men of my age got all their own hair. I expect that's what you're thinking. It's clean living that does it, inside and out. Moist looked around at the fetid air and the receding mounds of guano. Well done, he muttered. Well, Mr. Grote, do I have an office or something? For a moment, the visible face above the ragged beard was that of a rabbit in a headlight. Yes, sir, technically, said the old man quickly. But we don't go in there any more, sir. Oh, no, cos of the floor. Very unsafe, sir. Cos of the floor. Could give way any minute, sir. We uses the staff locker room, sir, if you'd care to follow me, sir. Moist nearly burst out laughing. Fine, he said. He turned to the golem. Mr. Pump?
Yes, Mr. Lipwig, said the golem.
Are you allowed to assist me in any way, or do you just wait around until it's time to hit me on the head?
There is no need for hurtful remarks, sir. I am allowed to render appropriate assistance.
So, could you clean out the pigeon shit and let a bit of light in?
Certainly, Mr. Lipwig.
You can?
A golem does not shy away from work, Mr. Lipwig. I will locate a shovel.
Pump set off towards the distant counter, and the bearded junior postman panicked. No! He squeaked, lurching after the golem. It's really not a good idea to touch them heaps! Floor's liable to collapse, Mr. Grote, said Moist cheerfully. Grote looked from Moist to the golem and back again. His mouth opened and shut as his brain sought for words. Then he sighed. You'd better come down to the locker room, then. Step this way, gentlemen. Moist became aware of the smell of Mr. Grote as he followed the old man. It wasn't a bad smell, as such, just odd. It was vaguely chemical, coupled with the eye-stinging aroma of every type of throat medicine you've ever swallowed, and with just a hint of old potatoes. The locker room turned out to be down some steps into the basement, where presumably the floors couldn't collapse because there was nothing to collapse into. It was long and narrow. At one end was a monstrous oven, which, Moist learned later, had once been part of some kind of heating system, the post office having been a very advanced building for its time. Now a small round stove, glowing almost cherry red at the base, had been installed alongside it. There was a huge black kettle on it. The air indicated the presence of socks, cheap coal, and no ventilation. Some battered wooden lockers were ranged along one wall, the painted names flaking off. Light got in, eventually, via grimy windows up near the ceiling. Whatever the original purpose of the room, though, it was now the place where two people lived, two people who got along but nevertheless had a clear sense of mine and thine. The space was divided into two, with a narrow bed at either end. The dividing line was painted on the floor, up the walls, and across the ceiling. My half, your half. So long as we remember that, the line indicated, there won't be any more trouble. In the middle, so that it bestrode the boundary line, was a table. A couple of mugs and two tin plates were carefully arranged at either end. There was a salt pot in the middle of the table. At the salt pot, the line turned into a little circle to encompass it in its own demilitarized zone. One half of the narrow room contained an overlarge and untidy bench, piled with jars, bottles, and old papers. It looked like the workspace of a chemist who made it up as he went along, or until it exploded. The other had an old card table on which small boxes and rolls of black felt had been stacked with slightly worrying precision. There, on a stand, was also the largest magnifying glass Moist had ever seen. That side of the room had been swept clean. The other was a mess that threatened to encroach over the line. Unless one of the scraps of paper from the grubbier side was a funny shape, it seemed that somebody, with care and precision and presumably a razor blade, had cut off